So I spent a little bit of time at lunch sort of reworking some of my notes to get in some things from the first half. So I have all these green scribbles all over my notes. So hold on just a second here and let me note. So before we talk too much about discernment, I just want to reiterate, you know, we don't need to feel like, you know, in the internet age that we're in some kind of uncharted territory, that we do have these great examples from within the church. Nicodemus is one of them, but we could find them from probably every age. So I was thinking when I wrote, you know, looking at that this morning, I came out to Calistoga today, and I've never been here before. I had no idea where I was going, but luckily other people have been here before me, and so I could do things like go on the internet and go to Google Maps and print out directions, and then I got in my car and I put my GPS system on and it brought me right here, and it was where I missed one turn, but it told me I missed that turn right away. So you know, we have guides, and it's a very, they're really wise guides from history to help us along the way. So having said that, though, and you know, now we ended the first half of this great vision of living for the glory of God, and now I've reassured us that, you know, we have guides along the way, and I feel like that I've you know, sidestepped the things that I at the beginning said that I wanted to really delve into, which is some of the tensions, some of the conflicts, some of the struggles. So we have the guides, but we still have a life that is complicated. And you can imagine that screen that John had. We talked in the first half about the temptations, passions, praiseworthy passions, but also blameworthy passions, and really the need for choices. And we have this wonderful goal about living into a life in the glory of God and glorifying God, and a goal to be holy. But we still have, you know, like we need the Google map that tells us, you know, A, we're here, B, there's the glory, you know, the life of holiness and glory of God over there. You know, what turns do we take along the way? And unfortunately, while I know how to use Google Maps to get from Berkeley to Calistoga, the Google Maps, you know, it's just not going to help us on this one. We got to go another way. So we're thinking about changing church and discernment, and I'm gonna in one small way one up John, and I pulled out this book this morning, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and I'm only one upping John in one way, and that is that I happen to know that not only can you get it here at the bookstores, you can get it right now. There are two copies. So you don't have to be like, oh, you know, could you get it for me? Sometimes it's over there for the first two people, Chapter, step 26, are you familiar with St. John Clemens's Line of Divine Ascent? So you have the rungs of the ladder, and step, or rung, they call them in here steps, 26, is on discernment, and I'm not going to, it's, some of these steps are really short, you know, you get like 5 pages. Of course, discernment is like 25, 30 pages, so, you know, it's too much to really go into any depth on today, but just from my book, which I will now destroy, you can see how much of the book you have to read through before you get to discernment. It's an advanced step. In fact, it comes right after the summary, right around the time he has the summary before he goes on to like the last two steps. So what does this, you know, really tell us about discernment? I think one of the things it tells us is that it takes a lifetime to get there. It's we have a lot of virtues to go through to build up to a life of discernment and a life of wisdom. But nonetheless, I think...
Can you summarize it?
Can I summarize it? Let's pull a couple quotes from him. Let's see. So he talks about discernment, of what discernment is. It's a solid understanding of the will of God in all times, in all places, in all things, and is found only among those who are pure in heart, in body, and in speech. So it sounds a little hard to obtain, but remember, you have all of those steps before to work through and to get you there. Discernment is uncorrupted conscience. And earlier we had a quote from Nicholas Kapostolos about keeping your soul uncorrupted. So we're seeing here it moving in the same direction. There was another one. I marked it with a pink. There it is. Our eyes are a light to all the body. Discernment of the virtues is a light to all the mind. So thinking back again to what John had said earlier about, in this life, we're learning what we need for the next life. So discernment, that's why it's at the top of the ladder, right? Right before, if you imagine the icon, right before, you get up into the clouds. Discernment is one of those things that we need. We need it for this life, but apparently we'll need it for the next as well. I have one more quote for you. Doctrine listened to is a light in darkness, a road home to the lost traveler, an illumination for the blind. A discerning man is a discoverer of health, a destroyer of sickness. So, like I said, available in the bookstore. Step 26, all about discernment. So we talked earlier about the way the internet, and not just the internet, I think our electronic media, TV, radio, everything, really exposes us constantly to ideas, images, stories, sounds, music, songs. And we, with all this stimuli, we have things that can get into our heads that we may, they end up there inadvertently sometimes. We don't necessarily want them there, but, they affect how we think, they affect our souls, they affect, in some sense, they can, if we let them, affect who we are. And I think about these things because as an ethicist, our academic discipline has this reputation of being really bogged down in the sort of the nitty-gritty of what to do in this particular, decision that most people, we come up with examples that nobody in the room would ever, encounter. These crazy extreme examples, or sometimes they're not so crazy and extreme. But I think it's a flawed approach because really, I think a lot of times, truthfully, we make our decisions pretty instinctively. We kind of go based on our feelings. We go with our gut. So it's really the case that who we are when we step into that sort of crisis, whatever it is, and have to make a decision, who we are, who we have shaped ourselves into being, is as important as whatever thought processes we go through once we're in that situation and we have to make a decision. And so we need to take some care about how we are shaping ourselves, how we are letting things shape who we are. And we have in Orthodoxy a lot of great traditions that would help us think through how we shape ourselves, or that just simply are there to shape us. When we think about liturgy, John mentioned it this morning, but the text of the liturgy and what they have to teach us. And even before we get to liturgy, our first thing here, family. We have family that are teaching us, our parents, our godparents, our grandparents, our, favorite aunts. Of course, we have priests, we have our bishops, we can, whoever we are associating with in the church, whether it's within our parish, when we come to a monastery, we have, this community that shapes who we are. But we really can't leave it there. Even though this is, these people are really important influences on our lives, we can't leave it there because at some point we have to, I think, take responsibility for who we are and making those decisions and really taking a step back and being self-aware about what's going on inside of ourselves, what state our soul is in, and then making the decisions, taking the steps that we need to take to get our soul to where we want it to be. So we have to know where we are, and we have to, again, with the Google Maps, and here we are at point A, and it's not really where I want to be, it's not a very good part of town, let's see if Google Maps can get me to my destination. Of course, there is no Google Maps app that will help you with, soul crafting, but the church is there for you, and
we have the letter.
Huh? We have the ladder. Available, two copies in the bookstore. So there's your Google. There's your Google Maps. I don't get a commission off the book. But I want the best for you because you know it'll make the community you know better off, and then you know we can have conversations and all move forward together. That sounded good, didn't it? So yes.
Uh-huh. All the time. Sometimes we disregard specific instances in our lives where we can follow the Lord. So we forget to ask Him on a daily basis. I just want you to clarify this point. Is it important to ask the Lord on a daily basis His guidance, His discernment, rather than ours? Or just go with the flow of heavenly guidance
yes.
from a holistic point of view?
Obviously, we cannot do it without God's help. And prayer and guidance, requesting guidance, is really important. But in many cases, in my experience, we don't always get really clear, like, you should take this job, clearly spoken, you know, like, we have some discernment out of our own to find what the guidance is and to know what the guidance is telling us. And I think we have also that need to take, like I said, the assessment of where our souls are at and to look around for the guidance that isn't available to us. I think about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and you know, after they're dead, and the rich man, you know, asks for Lazarus to go back and help his brothers, and he's told, well, you know, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. So some of our discernment, you know, it will come for things like scripture, but it's going to take a little bit of work. I mean, God is always there helping us, and that's why we have any hope of getting up that ladder, you know, as much as I, you know, call this the Google Maps, you know, reading it, it's not magic. You're not going to read it and be like on the top run just like that, or else, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I would just passed out books to everyone that came in and we'd be done. You know, God is there to guide us, the saints, the angels, but we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that it's not going to take some effort on our own part as well, and discernment, and really some soul searching along the way. So absolutely, I would say pray for God's guidance and direction, but be aware that you're going to have to roll up the sleeves a little bit from time to time and really get down into discernment and soul searching for yourself as well.